Welcome to Christ Today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are able to know you and to be a part of your plan, where we have salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. John chapter 8. Most of the way through the chapter, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And by this, Jesus was in effect saying that he had the same name as God the Father. Again, using that phrase and name in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 16, Jesus asks about who do they say that he is? And that little phrase is written, "I am," just like when he asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus said in words as strongly as people could understand that indeed he was God. Jesus is God and is the Holy Spirit. This we can kind of grasp, but I've never been able to understand it entirely, not even close to entirely. With God, there is always a mystery. And this is where faith comes in. Complete understanding is not possible. We need faith to bridge the gap between knowledge and being as sure as we can be that we know. By our reasoning and our logic, we get most of the way to knowing that God exists. But for the last little part, we need faith to get to the final point of belief. And to me, this is why Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "No one can please God without faith, for whoever comes to God must have faith that God exists, and he rewards those who seek him." Yes, God rewards those who seek him. And what kind of rewards are you thinking of? Well, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And that's written in the later part of Isaiah. Yes, that big book, the Bible, has lots and lots of truth in it, and a lot we can learn. It presents so many different examples in life and examples of truth that we can learn life lessons from the Bible. And so it can only do us good to read it. And that is both the New Testament and the Old Testament. A man in Bible study has once said that so much depends on the condition of your heart towards God. That's another way of saying your heart condition. And yes, that is ever so important. I look back to the Old Testament, and I have read about the musical instruments that were used to praise and worship God, the God of the Bible. And I have read about the musical instruments in the Old Testament that were used to worship an image or a false god. And you know what? The musical instruments are just about exactly the same. Yep. So, it makes a good illustration that the big difference is a heart condition in the musicians and of the worshipers, and as well as the object of their worship, whether it's the God of the Bible or a strange God. And that's the point of why it is so hard for one man to judge another man. In fact, it's impossible, and we're told not to do it. We're told that God sees the heart, and man does not see the heart. God tells us that he will be the judge of our eternal destination, and we are not to judge others in that way. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Yep, God is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is our God. Hooray. We might wonder if it's the same today as it was thousands of years ago when the Old Testament was written. I don't know how you can prove that it was that way or not, but my opinion is that the heart really is pretty close to the same today as it has been in history. The condition of man's heart has been just about the same all the way through. History gives us a lot to think about. The Bible is history, and there are books written about history, and there are textbooks about history. There are all kinds of stories that have happened. It's history. And then there are lots of similarities. They look pretty much the same if you have an overview of the situations in history. It's kind of like the same troubles occur and the same blessings occur. And have you noticed that troubles can be blessings in disguise? We see that just in life as we live, as we go through life. And surely, we don't want troubles, and we would not want to give another person troubles. Troubles, however, they can be a blessing in disguise, you might say. They can help us to appreciate the things that we do have, whatever it is. Whether they're emotions or a spiritual state or the physical things. And they can help us to define who we are. That's what troubles can do for us. We can decide and discern what we will stand up for to support and what we will stand up to fight. They help us to understand what is important to us. And don't forget how important it is to pray. Praying is always important. And there's different ways that we pray. We can pray for 10 seconds when we think of something, or when we see something going on. It can be a really, really short prayer. Or we can pray for an hour in a designated place. And, you know, that's called a prayer closet. Well, we do things that suit us. So, whatever we end up doing, just please do it. Please do pray. Pray about what you see around you. Oh, you know, it might be raining or snowing. So what do? You can pray for those around you. Pray for their safety. Sometimes traffic will suddenly stop on a road or a freeway. That's another time to pray. There are opportunities to pray for all the different situations around us, for all the different people around us. We see people in need. We can say a really short prayer for them as we pass by, as we walk by them, drive by them. There might be an ambulance going by. We can pray for God's godly mission and comfort to be delivered to those people in need. And we can pray that they are directed towards God's plan and His purpose. Well, there are opportunities that we have to pray, and they can be right in front of us, or they can be a long ways away. A situation in another country where there's tragedy or just plain difficulty. A few days ago, there was a natural gas pipeline that exploded and caught on fire in San Francisco. I don't know if there were any casualties, but the news that I heard said that there were 3,000 people without electricity. And, you know, electricity is such a blessing. We take a lot of these things for granted. We really do. Utility services, including electricity, we so often take them for granted, but oh, they are so wonderful to have. We're thankful for water, for electricity, that we can flush a toilet, or that we can warm a house, or that we have a telephone, and more. There are just so many blessings that we simply take for granted, and I think that it's a wonderful idea to thank God for the blessings that we have in our life. And we can also pray for those in need. And there's so many who have needs all around us, from the simplest needs to an emotional need to a physical need. Our prayers make a difference, and we ought to remember that. There's so many things just to think about and remember. Do you remember in the Bible that we're told to take care of those who are injured, and we're told to visit those in prison? There's a lot we can do for others. And sometimes we can do things, and sometimes we cannot. All we can really do is to pray. That's sometimes all we can do. And God knows this. And speaking of God, sometimes all we can do is give God thanks and praise for the gifts that we have. But have that appreciation in your heart, in your words. Appreciate things. We enjoy this earth that God created, and it's a wonderful earth. And if we want, we can look forward to the wonders of heaven. In heaven, where there will be no trials, no disasters, no hunger, theft, or poverty. How glorious. And we will want to be sure that our eternal destiny is heaven, which is beautiful, and not hell, where there is sulfur, suffering, gnashing of teeth, and eternal separation from God. So please, choose Jesus, choose heaven, and let your life demonstrate your choice. That's, I think, pretty important. And if you need more information, you can read the Bible. You can always talk to people also. And there are other books who talk about information about God and how He's real. Yeah, and but the Bible has all that in it, and that's really the real resource to use. And it has some the explanation about why Jesus and His death on the cross was essential to salvation, and that also means our going to heaven. The Bible is the source of so much, so much. It reflects on our life experience and life throughout the ages, throughout eternity. Can you even guess what will happen between now and heaven in our life? Nope, we can't guess. We are always surprised, and only God knows what really will happen. But we can be pretty sure there will be surprises. Oh boy, there are surprises in life, aren't there? Well, we can guess at what the future holds, and we can make plans, and that's reasonable. We can make plans because we make things occur when we follow a plan. That's just reasonable. That's a good idea. But as to knowing the future, to be sure of it, well, we know our future through Jesus Christ, but otherwise, we don't know the future. I was listening last week, maybe you were too, to Christ Today, and there was a pastor who said he had his plans for his home in the town of Paradise where he lived. And then the fire came, and that camp fire destroyed so many homes and so many dreams, so many belongings, so many memories, so many plans. It's been 3 months since the camp fire. And it's been a shock to everyone who's been involved with it, either closely or along the edges. We have seen so many things. Oh, yes. It has shaken up so many people. The people who were directly involved and the people who have lived nearby, in nearby towns and cities. It's been quite a mix of reactions to that camp fire. And there's many people who I know who have made a room in their house available for a fire victim. Many have allowed a motorhome or a trailer to be put on their personal property. Lots of people have offered help to lots of people. Oh, that's one part of it. But there's been others who say, oh no, our town is getting too crowded with people who had to flee the fire. They might be saying, oh, the traffic is getting worse than it's ever been. Well, that's what some people say, and thankfully, there are still more people who have concern and compassion for those who have suffered loss. So, I'm glad for that. It's just a part of our struggle in life as we struggle between what our choices are, and do we choose a good and compassionate thoughts and actions, or do we look at the troubles? Well, I've been to Paradise more than a few times since the fire. Wow. It's a big experience. And I still do not understand how or why most homes and most buildings burned, but some few others did not. The difference, I just don't understand. I cannot make sense of it. I wonder what other people think. You kind of wonder, was it the Holy Spirit that just protected some homes and not others? Or was there something physical that made a difference in each home? For instance, was there copper pipe in some homes? Copper wiring in some homes? Whereas there were other homes that had not copper but PVC and aluminum electrical wiring? Well, I just don't know. But I sure do wonder why most of the homes burned, but some few homes did not burn. They just seemed to have almost no fire damage. And I just don't understand it. And I wonder What is the earthly logic to what has gone on? I don't understand. Is it spiritual or is it physical? Well, if you have some well-thought-out ideas, please let me know because, well, I just puzzle over it. I don't understand, and I want to know more. So, yeah, I've seen fires in my life. I've seen house fires. I've seen building fires. I've seen forest fires. And the characteristics just don't make sense to me. So, like I said, maybe somebody has a well-thought-out idea, and I would like to hear that. So, I don't know what you think, but I'm interested. I know another part of this fire is that there are lots and lots of hurting people. And it comes with every sort of person. Every sort of attitude shows itself. Because some people, they go right back to the spot where their house was burned to the ground. And they wanted to live there. Well, that's some people. But then there are other people who are now just going in another direction, and they're happy with it. And others, they would say that the fire was just too traumatic. And for one reason or another, they are just never going to go back, not even once. And there have been plenty of people who want to go back just once and see what it is like. And then they never want to go back again. Well, people are different. People have different experiences and they have different thinking about what they consider their next steps to be. People are different. But that a part of what we deal with is a compassion. Human compassion, Christian compassion, and we are concerned about the people who suffered so much trauma from that fire experience. And that trauma will accompany so many of the people who have been through this for the rest of their lives. They will always have thoughts going back to that experience. And the largeness of it or the trauma of that experience. And then, you know, for others, it's pretty much like it doesn't affect them very much. It's like water off a duck's back, and they don't worry about the few singed feathers that they have. They just go on with life. How different people can be. I don't know the answer. But I think of those who have such, all of the different situations, I just think of them. I think back to the soldiers that have come back from wars lately and in the last 100 years, for instance. Some of those soldiers were so greatly affected, and some had very little effect that took place in their lives because of that war. Well, I don't know the answer. I wonder about it, but I think about compassion, that compassion is really the very best thing that we can do. Have compassion. And, of course, pray. Now, that's the best answer I can think of. We deal with the situations in front of us, and we try to do it in the very best way we know how. It's always different for everybody in every situation, and we also have our personal decisions as to how we deal with it all. Very interesting. It's not like there's one answer to it. People are different, and we do the best we can, and try to be guided by God and the Holy Spirit. Well, what do we do? What do we do? I know there's some people who say that the government should provide for all the needs of Well, not just these fire victims, but lots of victims. It's pretty tough. Pretty tough. One day we will have to look at our national debt, because our government is $21 trillion in debt. So what should the government pay for? We just keep getting in debt as we keep paying money to, well, all sorts of things. All sorts of things. Oh, but the debt keeps climbing, and what are we going to do? $21 trillion is our national debt, but there are also states and local governments that have a total debt of about that much also. And then if you think of the businesses and the corporations, well, they have a similar amount of debt. $21 trillion is such a huge, huge amount. And I wonder how we're going to deal with that. I'm very concerned that we are going to pass this debt on to our children and grandchildren. There's only so much we can pay back so fast. $21 trillion. It's a lot. Yes, I'll do with a million, billion, trillion. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. And we're $21 trillion in debt for our federal government. Wow. I don't know what we're going to do, but it sure concerns me a lot. We're putting our children and our grandchildren into debt to live today the way we want. Oh, boy. Well, I wonder what will happen. And there is history that indicates what does happen. There are money interests, and there always have been, the big, we'll call them the big bankers or the big international banks, and they lend money to everybody, governments, businesses, and people, on one level and another. So what are we going to do with our debt? I don't know, but I sure get concerned. At one point, I wonder if we're going to run out of money and there won't be any more money to lend. Or will it just keep getting printed? And so inflation would continue and continue and continue. And that would lead to hyperinflation. Oh, we would be in a world of hurt if that happened. If you look at history, you can see the many, many nations that have had this happen. It's just a repeating pattern all through history. And we can be pretty sure that someday it will happen here in the United States of America. History repeats, and these things have happened over and over and over again. What happens? At some point, the lenders stop lending the money for one reason or another. And the entire economy collapses. And then the lenders demand their principal and their interest, and if you can't pay, what happens? The people who lent the money, they take the assets of whoever it is that owes them, whether it's the nation that owes them, or a corporation that owes them, a business, or a person. What happens is that the lender takes the assets of the person who is borrowed if they cannot pay the loan back. That's just the way it is. And what happens is the borrower becomes impoverished. Poor, poor, poor. And that's just what happened in Genesis chapter 47 in ancient Egypt, when the people were hungry. They eventually became slaves of Pharaoh, and that was under Joseph. Well, Joseph was under the Pharaoh, and he managed all the grain and so many things for Egypt at that time. So, it could happen in a similar way for us, just like it has happened in history for so many, many other nations. It's just history, ancient history and modern history. The themes repeat, and we can learn from that, but we don't seem to. We just keep borrowing as a nation and as people. I don't know where that'll end up, but it doesn't sound too good to me. We learn about history in school. That is, we learn military history and political history, but not so many either study or learn monetary or financial history. It just doesn't get taught, not hardly, but we can learn it. All we have to do is look into the subject and find the books and the articles that are written about it. It's all available, but not so many people want to look. It's something extra, and it seems like as we go through life, we don't have enough time for much of anything. That's just how life goes, huh? Yep. Well, there's plenty of people who have said that an economic collapse of our nation is not that far off. Yeah, that's my view as a history person, a historian also. Man has followed a pattern, and we can see it. It's obvious. The financial information is there. We can see where it's going, and we can see where it will end up, because that's how it's happened over and over again in history. Now, we don't know for sure when it'll happen. And by the way, I don't have any inside information on anything. I just look at history, and it's so clear that something's going to happen. That's real life, and it's history. You can read it for yourself. It just shows that a collapse is going to happen. But the timing of it, we certainly do not know. We can't even guess. Well, we do guess. We make things make sense to us based on what we understand. But there's so many possibilities. Lots of people have thought a collapse was coming any year now for the last 20 years or longer even. And they've been wrong. We can all be wrong. We can see that there's indicators we don't understand, we don't recognize. But there are indicators that point to, yes, it's going to happen. When? That we don't know. Lots of indicators for our social condition, for our spiritual condition. Just lots. And it's just that we don't know when. When will it actually happen? Who knows? Nobody knows. But when a collapse would happen, oh, it would be such a disaster. It would be so serious. So serious that to me it only makes sense to take some easy and simple preparedness steps so that if that just-in-case situation does happen, that we have some resources. And I just think of the essential items like a water filter, like food or grains, and a manual wheat grinder. How about sugar, salt, and oil? Those are all pretty essential. How much? Good question. But also think about other things like warmth, and that means clothes or shelter. And for your food, spices are just great. Think of spices. Think of vitamins and a cast iron pot to cook them in. Now, I like the Dutch oven because you can do all sorts of things with a Dutch oven. That's a big pot with a lid, a cast iron pot with a cast iron lid. Anyway, whatever you think of, it's good. And the amounts that you think of are good. But there's no such thing as having a complete list or having everything. whatever you do will be incomplete. And I think the best answer to that is you will benefit from being a part of a community so that one person can help another person, one family can help another family, people can help each other. Well, there's so much to think about, and really it's not like there is a real knowledge to this, but you can look at examples in history and see what makes sense to do. Because everybody has a different idea of what specifically to do. But we don't know exactly what's coming, so we don't know what to do exactly. But we can look, like I said, at history, look at what has happened in other countries, and that gives us an idea of what just might happen here. Because it's a pattern. And today, there are lots of people who recognize patterns, and they see that something big is coming. What it is? Well, lots of people say it's a big financial collapse. And lots of people are saying that it will be worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s. Who knows? I certainly don't know, but I pay attention to what people think, if they're thinking people, and I like to hear it. So I think there is a pretty good chance that something will happen. Do you? Some people would only say, oh, sure, there's a 10 or 20% chance that something big and bad will happen. So, if that's what it is to you, a 10 or 20% chance that something pretty big is going to happen, how about if you put 10 or 20% of your available income or time into preparedness for such an event? Now, some people think that the percentage of a big event happening is a lot more, a lot higher. Everybody has their own ideas, and it's up to you to think about this and decide for yourself what you think is going to happen and what you think you should do. Well, I've talked on this broadcast before about the number of people who say something big and bad is going to come to our country in 2019. And there's a few who say, or 2020. Well, I certainly don't know. We've not had anything big and bad for a long time. But it's all possible. Something pretty big, pretty bad, is a real possibility. And we keep hearing about it from different sources. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen in a time frame that we understand. And I keep hearing the reports that come to me. I just got one that was an in-house assessment from a medium-large corporation. And they are expecting their sales to drop as compared to 2018, drop by 20% in 2019 and drop in 2020 also from the 2018 levels to 50% of what the sales were in 2018. Well, it's just another piece of information that says something is happening, and to have preparations simply makes sense. That's my view on it. So you get to examine all the information that you have available and try to figure out what you should do also. There's lots of information, lots of people have opinions, but you're the one who has to make a decision and act on it. Nobody knows the future but God. You know, God knew that 9/11 happened. That was a pretty big event for us, but it wasn't big enough for God to tell us about. But he did tell us about some other things that are happening, will happen, and he wrote about them in Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. He talks about famine, war, earthquakes, disease. And so you can be pretty sure that these things are coming. But when? Well, let's see what's sensible. You all get to figure that out. The other thing that he told us was to be not deceived. Be not deceived. Oh, that's a big one. Who do you believe? What do you see? There's spiritual deception, there's physical deception. There's even things that we deceive ourselves with when the truth is right in front of us, but we want to pretend that it's different. Well, be not deceived. Yeah. I think about Revelation chapter 18 also, where Babylon is fallen. Babylon, that great city, is fallen. For in 1 hour, that great city is made desolate. Oh, boy. Well, there's a lot of people with lots of interpretations, but a whole lot of people think that's New York City. How would that affect your life? Is the end of the age approaching? What should you be paying attention to? Ha! Well, your spiritual life, that's for sure, and maybe your physical life too. I know that there are plenty of people who don't want to live through an awful event. They say they'd rather go to heaven than to go through any sort of difficulty like this. But I think it is so important to remember that we are alive now because God put us here now. He put us here for a time such as this. So let us be faithful to God. Let us say, yes, Lord, and embrace the day. Embrace this hour, embrace this time. So if hard times come along, well, we will be a part of it. And also that's a time when so many people will be prepared to listen to the message of the gospel. Salvation through Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross. So, that will make so many ready to live their life committed to Jesus. And that's what we want to do. It's so real that we want to have that active life right there, lived out for Jesus. And I know that there are so many people who expect to be raptured out of this situation on earth before any troubles really come upon us. Well, they have a view which has merit to it, that God did not appoint us to wrath, and that's so true. But wrath is not the same as troubles. Troubles can come along in lots of ways and lots of different forms. So I think we could see troubles, not the wrath, just troubles. So there's plenty of scripture to say that we will be on earth during times of trouble. Yeah, not wrath, but trouble. And there's good reason to say that we, the church, will be here during difficult times to help bring the unbelievers to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the cross. So please consider this when you see events take place around you. They may be earthquakes or strange weather, or volcanoes. Lots of things can happen. And that anything of these could change life as we know it. Personally, or in our neighborhood, or our state, or our country. Who knows? There's just lots of things. Lately, we've seen lots of volcanoes active today. They are active on every continent. And I have to think back to the two volcanic eruptions of the 19th century, Krakatoa and Mount Tambora. Sure, thousands of people died from that, from the eruption or the tsunami. I think from both of them, I'd say 150,000 people died. Well, people die, but at that time, the population of the earth was less than it is today. So volcanic eruptions can make a pretty big difference to life on earth. They can have a huge ash cloud that comes up, and those are released with a volcanic eruption. And what happens? Well, it can cool the earth. Oh, many scientists say that those ash clouds cooled the earth to the point that the weather got cold and wet. Cold and wet. And that made our grain crops produce much less grain, much less than normal, and especially in Europe. And what that did was cause famine. Famine caused poor health, and millions of people died as a result of that. Today, there are volcanoes that are active. I think they're active in every continent of the world. And our food production, if there was a huge volcano that went off, would drop so much. And I wonder where we, regular people, would go to buy food. How would we get our food? How much would our food cost? It's just a question with no real answer. But it's a part of my just-in-case thinking. No answers here, just in case. And sometimes, well, different things can happen to the earth. Like when the earth moves suddenly, a lot of people can die. Earthquakes are a time when this happens. Do you remember 2010, the Haiti earthquake? 220,000 people died in that earthquake. And in 2004, there was the Indonesian earthquake and tsunami. 228,000 people died in that one. In 2008 in China, we had an earthquake in which 88,000 people died. Well, if a massive earthquake happened in the United States, who even knows what could happen? But you get the idea here. Earthquakes cause deaths. And we have some earthquakes that could happen right here in the United States. There's lots of them. And a lot of people are really concerned about them, too. A lot of people are concerned with the New Madrid earthquake fault. Others are concerned with the San Andreas earthquake fault. And then lately we've heard more and more about the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake fault there on the West Coast. There's some people who are very concerned with the Yellowstone super caldera volcano. That has such a really huge potential effect to really affect our whole nation in such a big way. It's just one of those possibilities, huge possibilities. And so that makes me think about how important it would be to get prepared. For what? For how long? Well, we all have our individual choice for that. Some people say, for days we should be prepared. For weeks we should be prepared. Some for months. And there's a few people who even say for years. Now that's a question I don't think there's an answer to, because we don't know. But if we look at the kind of difficulties that the Bible speaks of, I think you could pretty well say we should be prepared for some pretty big stuff. You have to decide what the answer is. You have to decide what to do. I don't think there is an answer for everybody. Certainly not one that I can see. But we can think about preparedness and what we might want to do with what we have. Oh, yes. Lots of things affect our lives or have the potential to affect our life. I mean, I even think of the fluoride. Oh, and I was hearing this news story about children that had been given fluoride tablets to strengthen their teeth. And there's been a concern lately that the children are getting too much fluoride. And the CDC responds to that. They say that the fluoride is causing the spotting on teeth, white spots. And when these white spots appear, it weakens the tooth at that point. And in the years following, well, it creates a strong possibility for a cavity to form. And so I just heard this recommendation that was new. They used to say that we should use a pea-sized amount of toothpaste on our toothbrush. But with this last announcement, I heard that they are recommending children use the amount of toothpaste that is the size of a grain of rice. A grain of rice. Why? To limit the fluoride consumption. So, well, we all get fluoride in our water. That is 90% of the United States gets fluoride in the water. And there's a Harvard study to say that young adolescents are losing several IQ points because of fluoride consumption. Fluoride is not a panacea. It has some problems. And I think it's odd how some of our news gets reported and some of our news does not get reported. It's almost like they're doing it intentionally, but who knows about that one? Well, it just reminds me of that battle we're in, the spiritual battle, where Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, it pretty much is considered in this way, that a thief comes, which is compared to Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we are in a spiritual battle. Our lives are at stake. Our eternity is at stake. And this battle between good and evil, or God and Satan, we are a part of it, and we want to stand for God. We want to clearly be counted as a follower of Jesus Christ with no uncertainties. We want to clearly be with Jesus. And clearly, we want to be with Jesus in that heavenly place. Yes, as the bride of Christ. And that is the church, and that is us. We certainly want to be closer to that heavenly place and to Jesus. Let's be clear on that. We want to live like we mean it, like that's our commitment to God, to Jesus Christ. And we want to go to heaven. That's good. And I think about spreading the good news of the gospel. I think of Mark 15:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I remember for a long time that did not make sense to me. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I wondered, did they really mean that? Well, finally, in my own way, I made some sense of it. I thought about how pretty much we don't tell people about the good news of the gospel. And I thought that we as Christians could use some practice at telling each other about the good news of the gospel. So I thought if we were to speak it, if we were to preach the good news of the gospel, that would help us to prepare our thinking and organize our thoughts and our words in our minds so that we would have practice saying those words. And that's where we could practice on every creature. How interesting. And that's my little thought about Mark 15:15. So I know if I was to think of a squirrel and preaching to a squirrel, well, it might stick around out of curiosity. It might listen, and it might just run away. And I thought, yeah, sounds like a person. What would people do if we were to preach to them? Well, there are reactions, and there are reactions. Well, let's always give thanks for the wonderful things that we have, and let us try to remember our blessings. Count our blessings each day, for we all have them. Blessings upon blessings. And we need to be thankful for them. They're wonderful things that are going on in our life. And remember spiritual preparedness. Remember physical preparedness after that. And you can always get my pamphlet about preparedness. And I ask you to please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll get that right back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 222. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. And always, so remember that if you would like to hear any broadcast of Christ Today again, please go to www.christtoday.org, and that is lowercase and no spaces, or you get to a little different website. I do try to make every broadcast a little bit different, and I know I often return to that theme about preparedness, being spiritually or physically prepared, but that's what I have on my heart, and I see that it's a message that God has put on my heart. So, for today, thank you for listening, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.